Good morning, folks. On the text line, I said, well, Newell's fired up today. It's just amazing to me when people are offering help that you're going to look the gift horse in the mouth and you're going to worry about what it is that they might get out of it, right? Because we have allowed ourselves to get mired down in what political capital is going to be derived. Does anybody actually really believe that any of these folks that are serving up there in Congress, that are inside the Beltway in Washington, D.C., that in every decision that they make, that they evaluate and analyze political consequence? Of course they do. They're political animals. I know. I was one. Guilty. As charged. It's a natural thing. And to sit there and look the gift horse in the mouth and say, oh, well, it's political. Jeff Landry's so far up the president's ass he can't see the sunshine. You know how many people are up people's asses every single solitary day of the week? Whether or not you're trying to climb the ladder in the corporation that you're working in, or whether or not you're working in politics and you're trying to improve yourself and move up through the chain of command of any organization, move up the corporate ladder. It is so inconsequential to hear people talk in those terms. They don't know what they're talking about. It's absolutely crazy. What do you fear? What is it that you fear? That we would avert maybe six, seven, eight, nine armed robberies? Maybe we would avert seven, eight, nine, 10 aggravated burglaries? Maybe throw in a smattering of a couple of murders along in there. We have a criminal justice judicial system that's overwhelmed. We have judges that don't show up for work, right? But for the Metropolitan Crime Commission bringing to the forefront a lot of the evidence each and every day to show these people aren't working. All they're doing is collecting a check. These are the things that we ought to be getting excited about, not about sending 300 guardsmen or 325, however they divide them up, to the city of New Orleans. We are militarizing the city of New Orleans, really? Well, they don't look too terribly different than the outfits that we wear as police. And by the way, the police organizations are a paramilitary organization. At some point in time, we should come to that realization that that's in fact the case. It's really distasteful too. Even the Catholic Church is getting involved in these conversations about what's going on in immigration, right? They are really kind of trying to poo-poo on what immigration and Customs and Border Patrol and others are actually doing out there, right? And saying that what they're telling folks, this is the Global Sisters report out of the Scalabrinian Sisters on August the 28th is that the current immigration crackdown is just the latest assault for victims of an unjust system that tells people who have contributed to the economic development of this country, you don't matter, I will criminalize you, and not only that, I will expel you, and I will shut the door on you. Well, you seem to forget something. Law enforcement didn't do any of that. These were actions taken with intentionality by individuals who decided to violate the law. It's amazing to me that you don't take the same position as it relates to your citizen congregants that are sitting in the pews exercising their faith, who very well may suffer the same consequence as an illegal alien, but we're trying to create a special class. Now, the cynical side of me would say, well, the Catholic Church is running the refugee program. They make a lot of money as an NGO that's out there. In fact, they have helped bastardize what is actually has gone on at the border for the past 7, 8 years. And in fact, have been written up where they have actually tried to circumvent the law on many cases and trying to help and facilitate and assist individuals coming across the border. Wow. Wow. Really? What's also interesting is we talk about our government. This is, I forgot who said this in the Catholic Church at Mass the other day. It may have been Bishop McElroy, if my memory serves me correct, which is really kind of interesting. Our government is engaged in, by its own admission and by the tumultuous enforcement actions it has launched, a comprehensive campaign to uproot millions of families and hardworking men and women who have come to our country seeking a better life that includes contributing to building up the best elements of our culture and society. This campaign relies on fear and terror at its core. For the government knows that it cannot succeed in its efforts except by bringing new dimensions of fear and terror to our nation's history and life. Do you think that maybe the priests have any idea of what deterrence is? Deterrence is the fear, not anything else, the fear of apprehension and incarceration. Do you think maybe they could read the room for once and gain a better understanding of why it is that society at large wants more police officers out on the street, more presence, in order to serve as a deterrent factor to those that have evil in their heart and evil in their mind and want to wreak havoc in our society? Citizens, and congregants, by the way, I would remind them, want more police because they want more deterrence. What does that mean? They want more fear of apprehension and incarceration. What are you talking about, folks? Why are you trying to intentionally confuse people as to what this is really all about? The rule of law. The rule of law. I understand that sometimes you want it and sometimes you don't. I get it. We all know, and we can talk about all of these horrific happenstances that we talk about all the time and is, you know, subject to a lot of criticism, a lot of people writing about it, about, you know, folks within the Catholic organization and others just not simply doing the right thing when it comes to violations of the law. Get it? Got it. But this is about as basic as it gets. They want more cops because they want more deterrence, which means they want more fear of apprehension and incarceration. Fear. That's exactly what they want. They want those that are not following the rules to fear the consequences. And we're supposed to feel bad for that? The rule of law based on custom? You know, the interesting thing to me is when you speak out of both sides of your mouth, you have no credibility. I served as sheriff for 10 years. I used to get the knocks on the doors all the time, anytime the Catholic Church was a victim of a crime. If they broke into the church and they stole items out of the sacristy, what did they want? They wanted to report the crime. They were the victim of the crime. And guess what else they wanted? They wanted me to catch the bad guy. Why? Because there's a rule of law. They lost something of value. And if you don't think that we're losing something of value by not enforcing the law at the borders of this country, you've got your head in the dirt. It's absolutely incredulous. All the times that we have to sit there and watch on the news, the moms and the dads whose kids have been killed by illegals in this country who are feeling the pain of their losses, there's no way that they can deal with it. And it constantly reminds everybody, they were not supposed to be here. They were not invited. And yes, you know what happens? The good suffers for the bad. Of course, everybody wants to label anybody that says anything about it, right? All the time. You know what else I find curious? It's amazing how they will flip that script when it comes to their priests who are disguised as priests who are truly pedophiles, right? That we should not look upon the church and generalize because of the ills of a few. But they flip that script when it comes to us and wanting to talk about what's happening here. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of it. Sick and tired of the duality of what they're preaching from the pulpit. We want a safe place to live, work, and raise our family. That's why Congress passed laws, and what's happening out on the streets today is in the next step to the laws that were passed by Congress. And I am sick and tired of people that feel like they have some type of moral superiority to the rest of us, because we're pretty kind of, you know, simple-minded. We just want people to follow the law. And when they don't, there's a consequence. We don't want asterisks. We don't want exceptions. Because when we do the asterisks and we do the exceptions, you know what ends up happening there? Disproportionate impact, disproportionate outcomes, the exercise of discretion, because we want to put an asterisk in this and that, because we really want to apply the law, but not in all cases, because we feel bad for certain people. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be insensitive, but I'm sick and tired of hearing about disproportionate this, that, thing, dong, dong. It ought to be if X, then Y. Plain and simple. And then we don't have to talk about any of this. We don't have to deal about any of these issues. And yes, a lot of the laws that we are going to embrace, some of them are going to align perfectly with biblical teachings. Others, not so much. But it's been that way for, what, centuries? Hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of years? That's not going to change. It's not going to change at all. What we're doing to federal law enforcement officers today is shameful. Shameful. They're doing exactly what they were hired to do. And when they took that oath of office to support the Constitution and laws of the United States, guess what laws are there? Yeah, those nasty immigration laws. But that's what they're hired to do. That's why they're called Immigration and Customs Enforcement. That's their mission. That's their vision, is to enforce those laws. Why is that such a big surprise to people today? It's absolutely incredible. Because nobody takes the time, especially in the mainstream media, to actually go read the law and talk about what it is that they are in fact compelled to do. No, to the contrary, what they want is for law enforcement to pick and choose what laws they should enforce. I will remind you again, you don't want that. You do not want that. Everybody is talking about, you know, the dangers of Donald Trump and him having the influence on what's going to be enforced and what's not going to be enforced. Enforce them all. And don't be critical of them when they do. Enforce all the laws. That's why they're on the books. They're not there to do them sometimes or when it's convenient or others. It happens by virtue of operation. It happens by virtue of the resources that you have. It happens by virtue of prioritization. But when you have a special unit, a special agency designed and crafted to do that, it doesn't happen in those other ways. You have an organization set up to do just that. It doesn't become mixed up in a long gumbo jambalaya list of priorities like I had when I was sheriff of Jefferson Parish. People used to ask me all the time, why are you still out there enforcing bee drinking in the bars? Why? Because it usually runs concurrent with prostitution. What happens with prostitution? There's a lot of thefts that occur in that same area. You also have people jacking people up. We just had a murder in New Orleans over on Rampart Street at a hotel that was probably, they got the woman identified. I would suspect she's a prostitute. She killed a guy. He was naked in bed, tied up. That's why you do these things. Are you ever going to eliminate it? No, you try to create a safe harbor. More safe than not. You're never going to eliminate it. But you got to be in there. You got to be in there. You got to be in there. You got to create what? Go ahead. You can say it. The Catholic Church may not like it, but it's okay. I don't think you're going to go right to hell for saying creating fear in the community that you will actually get apprehended and sent to jail. And we're trying to convince people that that's not how this system works. Really? Are you kidding me? It's how you want it to work when you're a victim of crime. Are you a special class? I suspect not. Not in my world you weren't. And that's why I could say with a level of comfort, when you had a priest that was abusing a child, call the damn police. We'll be right back. So let's talk about something a lot more pleasant. That aromatic, beautiful cup of coffee that I have every morning in the celebration of New Orleans coffee as the NOLA Coffee Festival joins us. Kevin Richards, co-founder of NOLA Coffee Festival. The festival's October 3rd through the 4th this coming weekend. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Newell. I appreciate you having me.
Kevin, some may think that I had too many cups of coffee this morning after that monologue, but I only had one, like I do every morning. So tell us about the coffee festival this weekend.
Yeah, so this is our third annual NOLA Coffee Festival. We started this back in 2023. One of the things that we really wanted to try to help folks realize is the actual importance of the coffee industry here, not just in the New Orleans region, but in the wider Gulf South. For well over a century, New Orleans was it was arguably the coffee capital of America. And over the years, we've seen fantastic brands come out of Louisiana, tremendous coffee shops, tremendous coffee culture come out of Louisiana. And so we wanted to celebrate that and take the next step of helping our region become even more excellent in coffee. And so much of what our event about is education, both from a professional standpoint, so folks working in the coffee industry. We want to continue to provide them with all the access to training and tools and so forth so that they can simply be better. And then we really want general public to come and explore and enjoy. For many people, their cup of coffee is something out of a regular ordinary Mr. Coffee pot, but there are so many other brew methods and styles of coffee out there that people just aren't they just aren't in tune to, and our event helps showcase that.
Absolutely. And the coffee industry here has presented itself in a huge way for a long, long time, and still does. Where is the coffee industry today, though, like kind of worldwide? Is it like some others? Is it on a decline? Is it continuing to grow? Do you know?
Yeah, it's a very, I mean, certainly very topical at the moment in terms of where it's going. Coffee is the number two beverage consumed on the planet behind water. And when you think about all the various cultures around the world, it's hard to find a place where coffee isn't consumed. So it's a worldwide category industry. It's because it's an agricultural product, is also very sensitive to the comes and goes of the weather and the climate and so forth. So depending on where you are in the world, where you are in this, what we call the coffee belt, which is this just above and just below the equator line in terms of the actual crop, at any given time, there could be floods and famines and so forth that impact that. But generally speaking, coffee is alive and well and super healthy. And certainly here in our region, if you just kind of drive down a street in New Orleans, odds are you're going to run into a coffee shop before you can run a few lights. So the industry is definitely hot. Pricing at the moment is in the news for going up a little bit, just based on transportation concerns and the like. But yeah, very healthy category. And here, obviously, the big players that we've got here, from Community to PJ's to Folgers to French Truck, and then all the independents, we're really thriving. And the opportunity to continue to educate our consumer base is tremendous.
Now, y'all will be meeting where, and what would we expect to see there?
So this year's event is at the Pontchartrain Center in Kenner, there at the foot of Williams Boulevard at the lake. So a nice big venue for us. We're going to have close to 60 exhibitors across the coffee spectrum. So coffee shop owners serving coffees, allied type products tied to coffee. So if you want to learn more about coffee equipment, whether that's for your home or if you're in the industry, coffee equipment for your coffee shop, we have all sorts of things there. We also have a tremendous amount of skills training. So if you're just coffee curious and you don't know how to, you don't know what a French press is about, well, we have someone that's going to be able to teach you how to use a French press and make recommendations on where you can buy and find. We have 60 hours of complimentary coffee education across three different classrooms. So that's really our focus around helping folks. We meet them where they are, but help them get to where maybe they want to be in terms of their coffee knowledge, education, competence. So lots of things like latte art workshops. We have a tremendous latte artist that is going to be on hand whipping up just unbelievably gorgeous latte art that people will be wowed by. We also have a music stage. Coffee shop culture often has a musical component to it. So we're going to have 10 performers over our 2 days on a small stage, just playing very much coffee style acoustic music, somewhat as background filler, but really fun and exciting to have.
Now, Friday, October 3rd from 9 to 4, I think, is the Trade and Industry Day. And then Saturday is Consumer Day, October 4th from 9 to 4, correct?
That's right. Yeah, we very much on a Friday, we lean a little heavy on the professional side, but consumers are, the general public is welcome on Friday as well. And then Saturday, pretty much general public and professionals. So the past couple of years we've kind of found our sweet spot in terms of the education and the agenda for the 2 days.
Now, Kevin, you guys always have someone, and your industry is always giving back to the community in so many different ways as well. I mean, I know that all of these companies help the not-for-profit communities with events they have, but y'all have something special happening this year.
Yeah, we've got among the things that we really try to do is provide access to education, and whether that's there are a lot of folks in this world whose, you know, first job might have been working at McDonald's, or might have been more recently working at you know, someplace like a Starbucks. Our goal is to help champion the industry, helping folks find their way into coffee. And so that manifests itself in a lot of different ways, which we're excited about, and we want to continue to grow. We also use this this event for baristas to hone their craft and learn more about it. And that's, again, that's very much tied to this, you know, 60 hours of free coffee education. Our exhibitor partners in their own right, whether it's community or PJs or Folgers, obviously heavily invested in this community, and also making opportunities available for that advancement from a career. If someone wants to pursue a coffee career, there's a lot of that going on.
Yep. And is one of your exhibitors, Scooters, are they doing something special this year as well, Scooters Coffee?
Scooters is not part of this event this year.
Okay.
So, yeah, they are certainly an up-and-coming player, but not part of this one.
Yeah, okay. I thought I read something. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the very cool things that we're bringing to this event is we're actually going to have actual coffee farmers from Honduras, Nicaragua, Colombia, and Uganda that will be on hand to kind of tell their story of, you know, of what goes on back at the, literally what goes back at the coffee farm. So a really cool chance for folks to meet, you know, real life coffee farmers from, you know, thousands of miles away, which is very cool.
If people want to find out more about what's happening this weekend, where would they go?
Our website is www.nolacoffeefestival.com. You can look up at our education schedules there, and then you can also buy tickets through a portal on that website.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck to the NOLA Coffee Festival this weekend, October 3rd, October 4th, from 9 to 4 at the Pontchartrain Center in Kenner, which is at the foot of Williams Boulevard and the lake. Kevin Richards, thank you so much for joining us, and have a great weekend.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll go to the talk lines. Your thoughts about what I opened up with this morning. We'll be right back. So 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Says, loved your opening monologue. Great job articulating how many people feel and many people need to hear. And, you know, a number of other texts saying that a lot of folks are afraid to say anything in today's world because of the possibility of being canceled or otherwise. I don't really think about that much. I try to be fair. I try to present both sides of the issue. And every now and again, when folks lose sight of what we're trying to accomplish and everything gets divided in the world as a D and an R, it's a little bit irritating to me. I'm not a hypocrite. I've actually openly, as a Republican and as the highest elected Republican official in the parish, when I was sheriff, I actually endorsed Democrats because I thought they were the best person for the job. And that's just was my humble opinion at that time. And quite frankly, more often than not, almost 100%, they proved to me, at least I thought, that I was right. They served with distinction. They served with honor. They were fair. We didn't always agree, and that's okay. Because, you know, you've heard me say this a million times. My wife and I don't always agree, right? I mean, that's just the way the cookie crumbles in the world today. And you're not going to be 100% aligned with anybody. And it's kind of the same situation that the way that I approach Trump. Do I like his delivery? No. Do I like the way that he handles things sometimes? No. Do I like his policy? More often than not, yes. I don't like the way of the execution sometimes, The same holds true as it relates to immigration. The fact that of being out there doing the job is one thing. How you go about executing it is something entirely different. Do I agree with every way that it's being done by immigration? No. It doesn't mean that my style is better. It just means mine would be different. I would handle it in a little bit different way. And I did, because we participated with immigration for years when I was sheriff. You know, and you've heard me say this before. We deported more illegals per capita out of Jefferson Parish than any other county in the country. Nobody really knew, right? Because we did it in a very ordered and structured, and the folks that I had working for me that executed that, it wasn't me that was executing it, but I had some say in how that was being done. They were serious about what they were doing. It was all about safety, and we went about dealing with it. And we dealt with some very egregious situations, circumstances, and conduct. We had a group of illegal aliens that wanted to take over an apartment complex. And basically, when they'd identify a unit that was turning over, they would just go move into the unit. The apartment owner called. We went in. We took care of business, right? They knew that we were not fooling around. And guess what they had? Contrary to what the Catholic Church and others want, they had fear. They feared that they were going to be apprehended. They feared that they were going to be detained. And they feared that they were going to be deported. And you know what? That worked to the citizens of Jefferson Parish to their benefit. That fear. And actually, it's working to their benefit right now. Sheriff Joe LoPinto has some of the lowest crime rates that we've ever had in the history of Jefferson Parish. I used to dream of getting below 10,000 UCR Part 1 crime offenses in Jefferson Parish. It was a goal of mine. I think he's done it 3 years in the running. And I think this year may be, if he stays on track, it may be the lowest crime rate year that beats all others. Now, let me tell you the difference between a leader and a credible leader. Do you think Sheriff Joe LoPinto's sitting on his laurels? Hell no. You know what he's doing? He's getting ready to embark upon a drone program that drones are going to be dispatched to crime scenes, and they're going to get there before the police do. And they're going to be the eye in the sky. And when the guy's leaving your house after having burglarized it, the drone's going to follow him. He's not sitting on his laurels at 80-something 100 UCR Part 1 crime offenses. Why should he? That's the difference between a leader and a credible leader. When I hear this argument by many, in fact, every mayoral candidate, well, crime is down right now. Why would we want the National Guard right now? Why would we want to militarize right now? You've done it over and over and over again. You did it after Katrina. We were a military state. We did it in Jefferson Parish. Had State Guard, Federal National Guard, part-time military, full-time military. On the streets of Jefferson Parish, on the streets of Orleans at one time. We had no problem then. Why should we not push the edges of the envelope right now? We know that we can shrink our overtime budget. We know that we can maybe incorporate some other special programs, maybe a drone program, if we had some freed up time for some of the folks to be able to execute same. And when the guard comes in, maybe that's the opportunity that we would take to reconstruct, re-engineer some things internally within our organization, because it actually gives us what? Some breathing space, some breathing room. But you would only know these things if you actually have done these things, right? you have experience in actually running something. To understand that when you're 300 officers down and you have an offer being made like this, that it creates some breathing room for you. And maybe there's some other things that you can do. When I talk to Chief Kirkpatrick, obviously she's burdened with other people's politics. She can't be as frank as she would ordinarily be. That's the beauty of being sheriff. You heard Ronnie Surpass say all the time how jealous he was of what sheriffs could say as opposed to what chiefs could say. Because the sheriff doesn't have somebody over, you know, looking over his back saying, "Nah, nah, 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 we're not going there. My ideology is left. Yours might be right. You're headed left, whether you like it or not." But quite frankly, on this show, she came right out and said, "I'll take the help. I'll make it work." You know what that means to me? She's going to take advantage of that opportunity, get some breathing space, do some things that she wants to do internally in the NOPD, and make it happen. And not spend a whole lot of time crying or weeping over the fact that, you know, a few military folks are headed her way to help out. The militarization of our cities. That's left-wing bullshit ideology being thrown out there to try and make this something that it's not. You know what? You want to know why the tactics of immigration are what they are today? Because you have Democrat senators, Democrat House members making fools of themselves in front of immigration facilities, rowling up the public. You have citizens throwing rocks at immigration officers as they're leaving the scene in their cars, trying to bust their windows. They're giving them the advice, if you see immigration, run. And they don't realize they're putting everybody's life at risk. And then they want to complain about some of the tactics being used for their own safety. Like putting a mask on because they're being doxxed. And they're threatening on social media pictures of immigration officers' kids saying they're going to kill them. And then they want to complain about a mask? Give me a break. We'll be right back.